This is an MP3 audio clip from the weekly People First radio broadcast.
CHLY 101.7 in Nanaimo.
Crystal meth use in BC is the worst in Canada. We were joined in our first segment by Mark McLaughlin of Victoria-based Crystal Meth Society of BC. Mark founded the group when one of his own children became addicted to crystal meth. He told the Times Colonist, quote, "When you're walking the midnight streets looking for your lost child and you bump into other parents doing the same thing looking for their kids, you begin to realize the scope of the problem." Unquote. We're going to be joined on the line by Ewan, who has his own story to tell. Welcome, Ewan.
Hi. Thank you for having me on.
Well, thanks for being willing to share. Tell us about your experience with crystal meth.
Well, I grew up in Victoria in a pretty normal middle-class family. And I actually, the first time I used crystal meth was when I was at the University of Victoria. I was 19 or 20 years old. And I had tried, you know, other recreational drugs in the past. And I think one of the issues for me was in high school, you know, everyone talks about, you know, drugs are bad, say no to drugs and things. And when I actually tried, you know, other drugs, it didn't seem that bad. So, you know, I tried pretty much everything that was put in front of me and never really had a problem until I got to meth. And there wasn't a lot of information about it when I started. And I actually looked on the internet and, you know, I'd read the good and bad parts of it, and I figured, you know, I would watch out for the highly addictive nature and things, and I wouldn't let that happen to me. And as soon as I tried it, I couldn't control it, but the delusion was so strong. I thought I had everything under control for quite a while. And my use quickly escalated from, you know, here and there recreationally to everyday use. I used it to stay up and focus on studying, and I got some really good marks, which was probably the worst thing that could have happened to me, because I thought I'd found an answer to my problems, you know, because I could use it and stay up all day and all night, and I thought that, you know, things were going to work out for me. I could balance work and university, and everything would come together. Little did I realize, you know, I was losing everything pretty quickly.
How did that happen, Ewan? At what point did it become evident that your life was becoming unmanageable?
Well, as I said, the delusion was so strong. You know, I at the time I didn't see it, but looking back, I can definitely see when, you know, I made conscious decisions to eliminate everything from my life that was interfering with my crystal meth use. You know, friends who were concerned for me, I pushed them out of my life. I tried to keep my use very separate from my family and my family interactions. And eventually I quit university and I quit my job because they were interfering too much with my crystal meth use. And I became a full-time addict.
What did you have to resort to? Petty crime to feed your habit?
Well, I couldn't make enough money at work. And even today with the job I have, you know, where I get paid fairly well, it would be nowhere near enough. I had to resort to selling drugs and doing crime. Fraud was a big thing. Mm-hmm. It's quite a, or for me at least, it was quite a social network that I got involved in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I met other people who were using crystal meth, and I learned from them how to get high and stay high and how to provide for your habit.
Mm-hmm.
And as the previous caller mentioned, you know, there was nothing that was going to get in my way. I was willing to do whatever it took. And that meant, you know, just take as much as I could from everyone and everything around me.
Mm-hmm. What was the turnaround for you? How long did you pursue this? Were you involved in addiction?
I was involved in the daily use of crystal meth for almost 4 years. And, you know, there was never any positive turnaround during that. It was all downhill. But, you know, I learned a new skill set, and I was able to become more successful with selling drugs and doing crime to keep my habit going. And, you know, I had no idea, really. Like, it was, I was completely focused on using drugs, mm-hmm. and everything else just sort of faded
fell
away.
Fell by the wayside. What did turn it around for you?
Well, eventually my parents had an intervention for me, like you see on the TV show, and that was the first time it really opened my eyes to the damage that I was doing to my family and to those around me. I had quite successfully eliminated most people from my life who weren't, you know, addicts like I was, and just hear their words and seeing their emotions, and I just, it was enough for me to say, you know, I'm willing to do whatever you guys want to stop hearing how bad I'm making you feel and how much I'm destroying your life. And for me, that was going to a treatment center.
And things have progressed from there? You're back on track?
Certainly. I spent 5.5 months in treatment. And, you know, it's been 3 years since, and I haven't touched any drugs or alcohol for that time. And I think that's, you know, the price that I have to pay. Some of it is the fact that, you know, I can't use any substances, because once my addiction gets going again, I'll be right back to the meth. And it's interesting to see the cost that has come. You know, I did a lot of damage to my health and to my brain. I struggle with short-term memory and long-term memory. I was unable to sleep for quite a long time. I came into treatment 30 pounds underweight, and I was nearly dead. You know, a lot of the people who I used with, who continued to use, you know, most of them, the cycle goes from, you know, in and out of jail, in and out of hospital to quite an early death. And when I was out there, I didn't see any hope. You know, everything I heard in the media was that, you know, you don't recover from this. Mm-hmm. You use meth and you die, and that's not the case. You know, I know a lot of meth addicts today who have made a recovery. And for anyone out there who's struggling or who knows someone or has a family member, you know, there is hope. Unfortunately, the government doesn't provide a lot. You know, as our previous caller said, when he looked for help, there wasn't much available. But there are some drug and alcohol counselors, as well as 12-step programs and treatment centers that are willing to lend a hand.
Ewan, we have just a moment left. I'm wondering if there's anything else you'd like to say, anything you'd like to add on this today.
Well, hopefully I can give you some more information off the air about different places where people can find help, and they could go onto your website and access that information. But, you know, I just want to say to people out there struggling that there is hope, and you can turn your life around.
And that's a really important message that we're certainly happy to help you share. We see that's, you know, people in Nanaimo on the streets suffering and struggling with that one for sure.
Mm-hmm. Ewan, thank you very, very much for joining us today. We really appreciate you taking the time, and also appreciate your willingness to share your personal story on air as you just did.
Well, thank you very much for having me, and if you ever need me again, I'm certainly more than willing.
Okay. Thanks, Ewan.
Thanks
right,
very
thank
much. Bye-bye, Ewan.
Bye.
People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Open Minds, Open Windows Society, both of Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of these organizations.